said, don't lie to yourself. Again, it was about different subjects, but the statement was the same. Don't lie to yourself. It's the second dumbest thing you can do. The dumbest being lying to God. Okay. Now, I realize when I say things like that, that's kind of, it can just sound like my opinion, right? So the idea for this class, this particular lesson, actually, really came from that. When I was saying, well, you know, I'd be interested in what the Bible actually says about lying to yourself. Did you know that the Bible does talk about that subject, about lying to yourself specifically? Certainly lying to God is the wrong thing. But there's actually some really good scriptures that I thought we'd study today. And as we do that, what I was going to ask is that each of you, and of course myself, just consider whether you personally engage and whether I personally engage in this particular lying that we'll be talking about today. All right. So I don't do these things to be a hard teacher or preacher. I do them because I want you to get something out of it. If you find yourself guilty, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit today, that's a good thing. It's not me telling you that you're a bad person. If there's something in your life that God wants to work on you about, let him do that. Okay, that's my goal, is to have you open your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to change you. And by the way, if you are guilty, you find that today, the best reaction would just be go to God, ask forgiveness, ask for his help to repent, turn from the sin, and stop lying about these things. Okay. Now, if you're not guilty today of the things that I'm going to be talking about, hey, just rejoice. Praise the Lord that he's shown you the truth and that you've been able to walk with him and not stray into these areas. Okay, just thank God for it. That way, this Sunday school class isn't wasted. See, you're on one side or the other. I don't want this time to be wasted. So that's what we're going to talk about. I was kind of joking around. I joked with my wife and with my son Sean earlier today that basically my lesson today, I didn't tell them what I was actually speaking on. I just said basically the lesson today is, look, you're all wicked sinners. Me too. Okay. So don't let that offend you. Okay. Hopefully you all know what I mean by that. But there's some things that, you know, I like the messages that caused me to examine myself. I think, for me, I mean, you may not feel the same. You might like the messages where it's all, where you have that particular subject right, and you feel good, and thank the Lord that I have this right. I like the ones that are more like this. The lessons where God is showing me something that I don't have right. That something that I have to work on, something where I'm lacking. Because what that does is it gives me the opportunity to examine myself, get it right with God's help. And so perhaps the lesson today will help someone here in that way, or someone listening online even. So turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John. The statement that I told you I made in previous Sunday school classes, again, was this: don't lie to yourself. It's the second dumbest thing you can do, the dumbest thing being lying to God. So the subject of this lesson is lies people tell themselves. And by that I mean mostly Christian people. Lies we tell ourselves. Okay? So in the book of 1 John, in the first two chapters, we have John the Apostle. Okay, this is the apostle whom Jesus loved. He covers several areas in which people are sometimes not completely honest with themselves. I just want to start out with the introduction, just so that you get the flavor of what John is starting to write about here. And then we'll get into individual verses, and we're just going to study our way through several of them this morning. So let's just start. I'm going to want to read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What I want you to notice here in verse 5 is that John says, well, actually in the first 5 verses total, John is saying here, look, from the beginning, we have heard these things. So he himself has heard these things from Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. He handled Jesus. He heard him. He saw him. He was with him. Okay. And what he says there in verse 5 is that the message which he heard and others that spent time with Jesus, the message that he heard from Jesus is this, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And then what's interesting about these first couple chapters is right after that, John starts writing about the things that people lie to themselves about. Okay? So you have to remember this idea. In him, in God, is no darkness at all. So the first thing, we'll probably cover 6 of these things today. Maybe not. We'll see how far I get. We'll get as far as we get. Okay. So if I don't finish, I'll just be like Chris. Pastor Chris. I always give him a hard time because he actually never seems to finish a lesson in one sitting, which is great. I mean, I love his lessons, by the way. I get a lot out of them. Excuse me. So the first thing that people lie to themselves about is when Christians claim to be in fellowship with God, but are not. Look at verse 6 in 1 John. We're just looking at the very next verse. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Many times people will fool even themselves into believing that they can talk to God, pray, that he is listening to them, that he is answering them, and that they're in full fellowship with God, even when they are involved in sin. Those that do that are lying to themselves, according to the scriptures. Did you know that it is impossible for a believer to have close fellowship with God when there is unrepented sin in his life? Okay? So again, I'm just asking you to examine yourselves, just like it's for me too. One of the things I like about teaching is that it forces me to study things for myself. So there's lots of verses in the Bible about this, about how the fact that sin, even for the saved person, can keep you from fellowship with God. I just picked one verse. I just like this verse because I always remember this one. It's in Psalms. You don't have to turn there. It's Psalm 66 in verse 18. And it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Understand that if you're regarding iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayer. Right? So that litany of things that I just went through, people that think that they're talking to God, if they're regarding iniquity in their heart, he's not listening. So therefore, he's also not answering. Right? And your fellowship is broken with God if you're regarding iniquity in your heart. God hates all sin. And although people do not lose their salvation when they fall from sin's enticement after they're saved, and they certainly grieve God, right? When a saved sinner, you have a relationship with God, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you sin now, you're not going to lose your salvation. That's what I'm trying to say. But you grieve God. Right? Now, God will forgive you when you repent and ask forgiveness. Jesus shed his blood so that could be true. Okay? But if you sin and you fail to repent and you regard iniquity in your heart, you keep doing that same sin. Don't ask for forgiveness. You don't change. What are you doing, according to this verse? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. you are not in fellowship with God if you're doing that. Okay? So you might say, is that really true of a saved person? Sure, because we talk about the fact that we are saved from all of our sins, past, present, future. That's true. What I'm talking about is the breaking of fellowship. Okay? That's what this verse is about. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you're regarding iniquity in your heart, you're not in fellowship with God. Don't lie to yourself about that. The only remedy for that condition, that broken fellowship with God, if you're doing that, is what's in verse 7. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, walking in the light, not in darkness. That's why verse 5 started out with God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us as humans, for some reason we like darkness. We want to be in the dark sometimes. I don't know why that is. We should want to be in the light, walking with God in the light, where in whom there is no darkness at all. Right? That's what we should want. So that's the first one. When a Christian claims to be in fellowship with God, but isn't. Okay? Don't lie to yourself about that. I'm going to cover this in the second point. If you sin, you don't confess it to God, you don't repent of it, and you keep doing that, you fall out of fellowship with God. You're lying to yourself if you're doing that. If you think that you're getting your prayers answered, for example. You're not. Okay? That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I have the same problem. Okay, I want you to understand that. But these are the ones I like, right? These are the ones that, doesn't it kind of make, hopefully some of you are going, yeah, you know what, I guess I do kind of do that. Number two, the thing that is addressed here in 1 John, things that people lie to themselves about, is when Christians claim to have no sin. Right? Some people will say, you know, that, oh, God is put our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. That's true regarding salvation. But what did I just try? I made the point, I think I made it, that if you're sinning now, even if you're saved, you're falling out of fellowship with God. There are those that, using the Bible incorrectly, they consider themselves sin-free. I'm saved, I'm good, I'm free of sin. For clarity, this is what the Bible says, okay? Christians are saved from sin and the eternal punishment for it. But we are not sinless. Right? I hope you get that. If you're newer to your faith, or perhaps you haven't even trusted Christ as your Savior yet, perhaps you don't understand that yet. Okay? So these Sunday school lessons need to be for everybody. All right? The problem is that we often choose to sin. That's a tough one to admit. We know something goes against God's instructions, God's commandments, and we choose to do it anyway. You've probably all had the experience. Listen, I've done it. This isn't right. But nobody knows. I'm going to do it anyway. God knows. We choose to sin. We fall to temptation, doing that which we should not do. We yield to fear or laziness and don't do the things that we should do. The reality, I'm sorry to accuse you all, I don't know what you're guilty of, but here's the reality. Most, if not everyone in the room, sitting here in church this morning at 10:20 something, have already sinned today. Maybe multiple times. Okay? Are you willing to admit that? Not to me. You don't have to nod your heads. I don't really even want to know. Okay? Are you willing to admit that to God? That you've already sinned today? Maybe you've done it many times? Well, if not, you're deceiving yourself. verse 8 there in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're sinners. You might be saved. I hope you are. But you have sin. Okay? The worst part of that is if you're not willing to admit that to God, that you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. If you are willing to admit that to God, let me ask you a different question. Have you acknowledged your sin to God this morning? Have you asked His forgiveness already? Or is that something you're going to do later? You know, later on when you've forgotten about the sin that you did. Right? Okay. Have you sincerely repented of the sin with every intention of not committing or omitting it, if it's a sin of omission, not doing it again? You need God's help with that. You're not going to be able to control yourself and not sin. You need God's help to change. Okay? So make sure you ask Him for that. The point is this. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Even if you are saved, you still sin. You should practice confession to God and repentance of sin constantly. When you realize you have sinned, or when you purposely choose to sin, as soon as you do, stop, confess it, repent with all of your heart. Lord, help me not to do this again. I want to see sin the way you see it, Lord. I want to hate my sin. Okay? Do you do that is the question. Are you deceiving yourself that you have sin? Because if you are willing to admit it, that's great. But are you confessing it? Because of the first point. If you're not confessing it and repenting of it, you've broken fellowship with God. Don't do that. Okay? The reason you should be practicing confession and repentance of sin constantly is the very next verse. Look at John, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's a reminder again in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Notice the words. That's pretty strong language. His word is not in us. The truth is not in us. That's pretty serious. Even if it's just a little sin, it doesn't matter. Sin breaks fellowship with God for those that are saved, for those that are His children. Okay? If you're not saved, any little sin, one, is what sends you to hell for all eternity. Unless you repent of that, you have to ask Jesus Christ to save you from that. That's what you need to do. That's what we call getting saved. Sorry, kind of tough, huh? These are the ones I like. So, as a teacher, you sometimes get what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart. So, hopefully that's always the case. Because my opinion doesn't matter. I understand that. You shouldn't be looking for my opinion. You should be looking for what the Word of God says. That's what we're trying to do. The third lie that people tell themselves. It's when a person claims to be a believer but does not keep God's commandments. John called that person a liar. Now, there's a little bit of a clarification here. We just talked about the fact that we all sin. We will all sin. This is a reference to those that keep not His commandments. These are the people that aren't really even trying. We all should be trying to keep God's commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. We should all be trying out of love for God. We're going to fail. We're human. Okay? And then we confess it and repent of it. Right? Okay? So there's the process. This is a reference to those that just aren't even trying. Skip down to chapter 2 now in 1 John, and it's in verse number 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. There's that same phrase. The truth is not in him. Think about that. God's truth is not in him that does not do the things that God has commanded us to do. Let me ask you, you don't have to answer. Just think about it. What is truth? Well, anybody that knows their Bible knows that Jesus is truth. He said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what does it mean about this person if the truth is not in him? It indicates that this person isn't saved. The person that's not trying to keep God's commandments just really isn't even trying. It's an indicator, right? See, going through a Christian life, if you're a true Christian, if you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we tend to have our ears, our eyes, our discernment are on others that claim to be of the same faith, right? We watch other people. We're confused when we hear the profession of faith, yet we clearly see that they are not living the life they are supposed to live. Have you had that experience? I've had that many times, where this person says they're saved, but they don't live like it at all. Isn't that a head scratcher for you? It is for me. We scratch our heads at the one that does that. The one that says one thing but lives another one. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John's writing here, simply says, look, those people, the truth is not in them. Look at the verses immediately before and after here in verse 4. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You see that? The keeping of God's commandments is evidence that a person is saved. At least, and it depends on where you are in your faith. It takes years sometimes to be able to even learn what the commandments all are. This is a lengthy book. And you should be reading it every day. But that's the way you're going to know. It's not just coming to Sunday school and services. You have to read it for yourself. Study the book for yourself so that you know what God's commandments are, so that you can do your best to keep them with God's help. Again, you'll fail here and there. Confess it, repent of it. Okay? It's a simple process. So the keeping of God's commandments is evidence that a person is saved. Not keeping his commandments is evidence that a person is not saved. Okay? You can tell that both there in the verse that we just used, where it said, He saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I just told you the truth is Jesus Christ. He said so himself. Jesus Christ is not in him. You can, if you're still right there, look back at a verse we just used for the second point, 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right? It's an indicator that you're saved, that you're trying to keep God's commandments, and that you know you're still a sinner, and that you need to confess it, repent of it. Okay? Number 4. Lies people tell themselves. I don't mean how you're doing with the points here. I mean, are we okay? I haven't offended anybody. What I told my son Sean is that I was going to tell you're all wicked sinners, but I'm going to do it nicely. I'm trying to do it in a way that you're not offended. Don't be offended. This is the human condition. Okay. Just work at getting it right. And you can't do it on your own. If you're not saved, trust in Jesus. Get saved. If you are saved, well, you have to know these things so that you can do the right things. And, as I said, stop lying to yourself about these things. Right? It's silly. What a silly thing to lie to yourself about. Right? Why do you want to break fellowship with God? Don't. Number 4. When one claims to be a child of God but hates other saved people. There's a toughie. 1 John 2 and verse 9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. You remember verse 5, right? God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you're walking in him, which is what we're supposed to do as Christians. But you're doing it in darkness. There's a problem there, right? In God, there is no darkness at all. So he that saith that he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. If a person is saved, he should love the other members of the family of God. This is a funny thing to say. I hope I don't. I was also just saying I've never gone past the place. Pastors never said, hey, you know, next time you just kind of back it off a little bit. Or I've never had that sort of correction. I'm hoping I'm not going past the line here. Loving is action, right? It's not a feeling. That's not controversial. But I can love somebody and not particularly like them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to cross a line there. I'm just saying, if I said it like this, I don't know of anybody that I would say this about, but I could say, there's so-and-so in this church, I don't really like them very much, but I'm willing to love them. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say there, okay? Now, as far as loving somebody, it's action. In 1 Corinthians 13, again, don't turn there. I'm not even going to read it. I'm just going to sort of paraphrase it for you because it's what Pastor refers to as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about charity, love, and what it is. Okay? Think about this in relation to how you treat the other members of our church or the other saved people that you know. Okay? So, according to 1 Corinthians 13... real love suffers long. It puts up with a lot, is what that means. Okay? Do you put up with a lot from your brethren? Okay? It's kind. Not sometimes. It's always kind. Okay? It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not puffed up or prideful. This is love. This is how we love people. It does not behave itself unseemly, meaning it doesn't act improperly. Okay? It's not easily provoked. It doesn't get mad or offended easily. Okay? Does not put its own desires and wishes before others. Is that how you treat your brethren? Or is it kind of more about you sometimes? We all have these issues. Like I said, I'm not trying to accuse you. I'm accusing us, all of us. Okay? So that you think about it for yourself. Examine yourself. Doesn't put its own desires and wishes before others. Does not think the worst about another. It's not happy when another person does wrong. It believes people. Doesn't think they're lying all the time. It has hope for them. It never fails. Never stops. That's what love is. Is that how you treat your fellow Christians? Or do you find yourself getting bitter, holding a grudge, wishing bad things on someone else? I've seen this starting rumors saying, you know, so-and-so did something that I didn't like, so I'm going to go tell that guy over there that I didn't like what that guy did over there. Let me share a real secret with you. Those are not signs of love. Okay? That's not love when you're doing those things. No matter what you claim, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. If you find yourself hating other people, getting bitter, holding grudges, wishing bad things on others, you are in darkness. You're walking in darkness. So stop lying to yourself about that. I'll be accusatory again for a second. At least some of you are doing that. I know it. I see it. I hear it. So stop. Okay, don't lie to yourself about it. Let's get it right. Okay, as a church. Okay? Don't walk in darkness. Now, there's the other side of that as well. The other side of that is the next verse in verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You're not causing your brother to stumble because you're not doing things that brings strife. Okay, you're just loving your fellow brethren, and therefore you are abiding in the light. You see the difference? It's pretty clear. So don't lie to yourself about that. If you do it, well, confess it. Repent of it. Ask for God's help to stop. Simple, right? Number five, lies people tell themselves. When people love this world more than anything else, or more than anything, I guess I would say it. When people love the world more than anything, they're fooling themselves. They're deceiving themselves. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No matter what they say. The Bible is the word of God. God says that, so that is correct. You can try and justify away. I'm an expert justifier of the things you do wrong, but you're still wrong. You know what that is, right? Do anybody else do that? Do you try and justify the things you did sometimes in your own mind? You know what you're doing? Lying to yourself. That's what you're doing. So let's not do that. So I'm going to pick on this for a minute. Most of you know that I teach financial things, so this is just a good way to kind of throw this in, because you've heard me say this before. I've heard it said, and I've said it myself. Show me your checkbook, and I'll show you what you love. That's kind of dated. Where's the young people? I know you don't use checkbooks anymore. I got it. Show me your bank statement, and I'll show you what you love. How's that? Okay. Now, that's not Bible, okay, but there is certainly truth there. Do you spend a lot of money on things that you don't need? Why do you do that? Did you know there's only one reason you do that? It's because you want it. There's no other reason. Think about that one for a second. Do you allow another dated reference, but you're all familiar with it. Do you, the keep up with the Joneses mentality. Do you allow that to affect your spending? The keep up with the Joneses mentality, I think you all know what it means, but maybe for the younger folks, it means, well, everybody's got an iPhone 13, so I should have one too. Right? I still have an 11. I use that example because I just upgraded my phone. For free. Okay. All right. But those of you that are out there spending $800 on your phone because it's the latest and greatest thing, but there's nothing wrong with your iPhone 11, maybe if God has given you that kind of money, but be careful. Are you doing it just because you want it? Or is it keep up with the Joneses mentality? Keep up with the Joneses is pure pride. That's what it is. Everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. I want one too. It's me, me, me. Don't do that. Your financial life, you've heard me say this too, your financial life tends to be a reflection of your spiritual life. If you love the world, you spend a lot on the things of the world. If you love the things of God, you make dead sure that you tithe and you give offerings and you help the needy through almsgiving. Because that's what the Bible instructs us to do. Those are the commandments of God that we were just talking about. And you do that as much as you can if you're most concerned with the things of God. I'm not saying you can't have nice things. That's not what I'm saying at all. There's nothing wrong with that. Just be careful with that. If you are spending all of your money on the things that you need and the things that you want, and, oh, well, I'd love to give to the missionary, but, you know, think about it a little bit. Maybe you should reconsider your priorities. Okay? You should be using the things that God blesses you with to further the cause of Christ. I'm not saying every single dime, and there's nothing wrong with having some nice things. That's okay. Not that it matters what I say. So it's the same with your time, right? Do you spend all your time on worldly things? I know it's a tough world out there. Some of you work very, very long hours. But then do you spend the rest of your time on fun? Because I work hard and I deserve it. Leaving out the need to serve God, to come to church, to read my Bible, to pray, to go out and tell other people about Christ. Do you leave time for that? do you make sure that you give of your time to serve God and obey His commandments, not allowing the world to take all of your time? Okay? Don't lie to yourself about that. I'm so busy. You're as busy as you want to be. Yeah, you've heard pastor's sermon. We all have 167 hours in a week, right? You start doing some math. If I sleep 8 hours a night, you know, and you go to church a few hours a week, and I work 40 hours. Some of you work maybe even 80 hours. Still, do the math. You've still got a lot of free time. You should be making sure you're serving God. Don't love the world is the point here. The verse was 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's right here in Scripture that we find the big three sins that are going to derail you and me, derail your spiritual time, your spiritual life every time, if you lie to yourself about it and if you succumb to it. Look at 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's the question to ask yourself. Why do you want what you want? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Usually it's, well, I just want it. Why do you want it? Is it a desire for the things of God? Or is it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and or the pride of life? Is it that, right? Because those things, according to that verse, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And what did the previous verse tell us in verse 15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why do you want it? It's a great question to ask yourself when you're wanting stuff or things or situations. There's a lot of ways to apply it. Are you being truthful with yourself about that? Don't love the world or the things in the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. Love God and the things of God. It always sounds so easy, doesn't it? And it's hard. So I'm just about out of time here. So I'm just going to end with this one. Another deceiver worth mentioning here is the one that says Jesus is not the one God promised to come, the Messiah. Okay, I include that one because it's here in 1 John 2. It's in verse 22 where it says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Some of the most popular religions, when examined, are very deceptive in this area. Some of them even claim to be Christian. This one baffles me. I don't know how they do that. They claim to be Christian, but they say that Jesus was just a good man or a prophet or a good example, but not God's only Son. He was not God himself. Those are lies. The Bible right here tells us that those that say those things are liars. There's so much deception out there in this world, and people deceive themselves, unfortunately, over these things, right? This is just a few things out of the Word of God. There's several other places that you should make sure you're not deceiving yourself. We tend to get in a way in our lives where we think we're doing right, we think we're being spiritual, but it's worth examining yourself to see, hey, maybe I don't have that right. Okay. People lie to themselves, they lie to others, they lie to God. Who did Jesus call the father of lies? Satan, the devil. You know where that appears in scriptures, by the way? It's in John 8, penned by the same man that wrote these scriptures that we're reading here. The Holy Spirit gave it to him, of course. If you're engaging in lying, even to yourself, you are following him. You're following Satan. Okay? You're walking in darkness. But on the other hand, walking in the light, adhering to what God says in His Word, and using the Word as a guideline for your life, that makes it possible to see what is of God and what is not. That is called discernment. Anybody remember Pastor Chris's message last week? He started talking about discernment. He'll be teaching about that, I think, next week as well. Great subject. If actions and words line up with the Word of God, then it's of God. Anything opposed to the Word of God is not of God. Okay? It's really black and white there. God is not the author of confusion, the Scriptures say. So, I'm a couple minutes over time here, so I'm just going to say this, as I said in the beginning. If you find that you're guilty, I just went over six things. If you find you're guilty in any of these areas, look, just go to God, ask for forgiveness, ask for His help to repent, turn from that sin, stop lying to yourself, and move on. We're going to have 10 minutes. What? Don't wait, like I said earlier, don't wait until you've forgotten what your sin was. Right? I mean, you can pray one of those, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Well, that's not a terrible prayer, but Lord, forgive me for this specific thing that I did. Help me to change. Help me to see that the way you see it, Lord. Okay? That's what we should do. And if you're not guilty, if I didn't hit anything that you're guilty of this morning, great. Praise God. Right? He's shown you some truth. Okay? Great. So we didn't waste our time. Just thank God for that. All right? Let's pray and I'm done. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for these folks and their attentiveness. Lord, I just do want to pray for these areas that, Lord, your word says that we lie to ourselves about sometimes. Lord, we pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would show it to us, each one of us, Lord, where we're guilty. Help us to truly remember, Lord, when we do sin, Lord, to not break fellowship with you, Lord, but to just confess our sin to you. And we know you'll forgive us. Lord, you promised that. Lord, just ask that you would give us the ability to repent and not do that anymore. Lord, I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would keep this in the forefront of their minds, Lord, and just help us all, Lord, to just become better Christians, that it's clear, the evidence that we're saved. Lord, and I just want to say that if there's any that aren't here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of their heart. That people that maybe don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, pray that today would be the day that they turn to you, Lord God, and just ask you to save their soul. Lord, we just pray now for the morning service. Pray that it would be another blessing from heaven, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you all. You got 9 minutes.